Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is an iHeartRadio podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. Our show is about to begin.
In 2018, two composers joined forces to give us a new twist on a nostalgic franchise. Here is our interview with the musical senseis of Cobra Kai, Leo Bierenberg and Zach Robinson. This is The Soundtrack Show. Welcome back to The Soundtrack Show. I'm your host, David W. Collins, and this is a special interview episode, our chance to sit with professionals that create the music behind the entertainment that we love. Boy, do I love Cobra Kai. You know, I haven't told this story, but back in 2014, a friend and I attended a 30th anniversary screening of The Karate Kid, the original, at the New Beverly Cinema here in Los Angeles. It's owned by Quentin Tarantino. Anyway, really cool theater. After the screening, director John Avildsen got up and spoke, as did members of the original Cobra Kai from the original film. Avildsen was such a gentleman, such a kind person, who I got to meet in the lobby afterward. But I have to say, I was really taken by William Zabka, aka Johnny Lawrence, who was so positive, so genuine during the Q&A, and in many ways the opposite of his on-screen character. So when I saw the first episode of Cobra Kai, and saw that the idea was that this show would take place from Johnny's point of view, and therefore flipping the narrative on its head, I was immediately intrigued. It very much reminded me of that night watching The Karate Kid with the director and all of Cobra Kai showed up. And part of this intrigue happened within the first 10 minutes of the first episode because of the music. Like the show, the music in Cobra Kai strikes a balance between homages to the past while having its own fresh take on modern film scoring. 20th century rock versus 21st century youth. Plus plenty of karate and plenty of nostalgia. Recently, I had the opportunity to interview the composers of Cobra Kai. We discussed everything from how they met and landed the gig writing for the show, to the styles presented in various musical cues, to the legacy of The Karate Kid itself. Here is my interview with Zach Robinson and Leo Bierenberg. You guys, thank you so much for coming on to The Soundtrack Show. I'm really excited to meet you. I'm a huge fan of your work on these three seasons of Cobra Kai. And I was just about to tell you, my wife and I binged season three in two nights, and that's because we forced ourselves to stop at midnight. So, because our kids are going to be up at like 6:30, whatever. But it was awesome. And then I started watching again, knowing I was going to get to talk to you. Great work. I just thank you and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us. We are
really happy to be here.
Awesome. I just wanted to start, first of all, and just ask you how you two met and became involved in Cobra Kai. I mean, I've read a bit about your background in terms of working with other composers like Christoph Beck, working on animated series, but how did you both come together and join forces on this particular show?
So we met at Sensei Beck's studio in 2012. And my first day in there, I was an intern and Leo asked me to get him a coffee. So I got him a coffee.
Those roles have changed now.
That began a budding relationship, both as good friends and as colleagues and co-writers. And we just spent so much time kind of like in that studio together that we, you know, came up under the same systems and, you know, we have different kind of like, we have very similar, like kind of, I don't want to say writing styles, but just the way we approach scoring to picture, I think we have the same kind of brain in that way and in kind of what we think works and what doesn't. And when we had departed Chris's studio in like 2015, 2016, we had paired up together on a YouTube Red show. That was when it was called YouTube Red, when they first started going into like original content. And that was our first time working together as a pair. And it worked really, really well. And then flash forward a couple years, we saw in the trades that Cobra Kai was getting made. There was no information about who was a part of the show, that Ralph and Billy were coming back. There was no information. All we saw was that, oh, it's a YouTube Red show, and we have that relationship with YouTube Red. So we asked our agent to submit a reel that we just kind of put together of what we thought the music should be, which had a lot of kind of 80s influence, which had some like epic orchestra a la Conti, a la kind of like maybe with like an Asian tinge kind of thing. And it made its way to the showrunners, and we had a meeting like in 2 days and 2 days later. And then we got the gig at like 15 minutes after the meeting. And it was just, yeah. It was like, it never happens like that. It never happens.
Wow.
Like that. So we, and we really found that like once we were in the meeting and we found out about the show, and we read the scripts, like we just could not believe that this was what the show was. And, we truly like believe that it's just kind of the perfect amalgamation of all of our styles and what we love about scoring. And it's like the perfect gig for both of us.
So when you mentioned that when you and Leo met, you had this kind of a similar take on film scoring and practice or film scoring style and how you approach things. Where does that take come from? I mean, what are some of your influences mainly in terms of film scoring? Who are some of your favorites?
Well, Zach and I both have really diverse musical backgrounds that are also like pretty different. Like I grew up playing saxophone and studying voice, did a lot of musical theater.
Same.
You know, I played saxophone, clarinet, and flute, you know, in my high school jazz bands. Like and ended up like writing music for some like student run productions. Zach is like a guitar hero, played in a lot of different rock bands, a video game inspired metal band that has found a lot of second life in some Cobra Kai execution.
Is that the DAD project that you have there?
That's a more 80s tinge project. That's a different one.
Oh, okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to all that stuff later.
We can talk about that. Yeah.
Continue,
but
please.
Like both of us just like play a lot of different instruments, and I tend to find that like people who are into like a lot of different kinds of music like sort of become interested in film scores, I think, because like you know, by virtue of the fact that you are telling stories that take place like all over the world and in all different time periods, like it's a lot of drawing on influences, whether it's the 80s or Japanese music, or, I mean, those are some Cobra Kai flavors, but, and so I think we just kind of like, when we started hanging out and like making music together, it was just like, oh yeah, I know exactly that like style of music you're referring to, 'cause like I listened to that too. We both have very broad Venn diagram circles. So like there's a heavy overlap section, even though like the separate part sections are there too. In terms of film scores, like I'm a big like Lord of the Rings nerd. So I always like Howard Shore's stuff, both his work on that and like before that, the Cronenberg stuff. Uh-huh. I know Zach is a huge Ennio Morricone fan. Which, you know, if you're a Morricone fan, like I feel like you really get the best of like drama with picture, because like aside from writing such memorable tunes, that guy like really knew how to like make an impression.
Yeah.
Zach, do you have some more
influences? I mean, like
endless.
I don't even want to, it's like hard to do, but I would say that, in terms of like the technical film scoring, like we learned a lot of like from how Chris Beck scored and kind of like some of the like principles that he uses in terms of just like where to hit what, like Chris is like, you know, an amazing kind of like fun composer. Does that like, that the best adjective? Like, I don't want to say comedy. I want to say someone that like is very good at like accentuating just kind of the fun moments in certain places. And that was very helpful with Cobra Kai. Like what kind of moments do we want to accentuate? You know, whether they're fun or whether they're serious or whether they're like a comedy moment or a drama moment, like, or an action moment. We both like really appreciate unabashed like scores. Like we just want scores to like be true to themselves and like go hard when they need to.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I frequently say like if music needs to like justify why it's in the scene, then it probably shouldn't be in the scene. Like if we're gonna put music in something, like we want it to like really have a purpose and identity there.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly true of Cobra Kai. I mean, I listened to all three seasons that that you guys have done. And, you know, before we get into tone of Cobra Kai, because the tone is so interesting, like you mentioned the pitch, and I can't believe this is the show, I wanted to go all the way back to the beginning. You mentioned Bill Conti, and I just wanted to hear your thoughts on the original Bill Conti score or scores, you know, for the Karate Kid sequels. What's your overall take? I mean, certainly it's everything you said about film scores. It's definitely eclectic and kind of goes all over the map. What's your overall impression of the music of the Karate Kid when you first started the project?
There's a couple like identities that score has that, when you list them, it makes it sound like especially eclectic and a little all over the place, from that like opening cue that is basically like a drive across the country Western, like major Americana. And you're like, how does this share a world with, you know, some of the action music later in the movies that has like a more like grinding, thumping, like synth bass, like extremely of the era sound with like orchestra on top. And like a lot of those Conti scores, like it's like a rather intimate orchestra. It doesn't sound like a super like polished 90 piece thing. Like, you know, it sounds a little smaller and gives it an identity. One thing that we kind of latched into in the Conti is the mysticism of a lot of the Miyagi music. There's a couple identifiable elements, some of which we draw on occasionally, although I think like the one motif that we like to borrow every once in a while is not one that people think of right away. But just like some of those sounds are so iconic, like the pan flutes in particular. And so like, I mean, it works out very well because like 80s pan flutes, you know, as a synth sound are like a thing. And in kind of creating this, you know, pop film score, synth wave, hair metal hybrid that like we have created in the underscore to Cobra Kai, like that's such a fluid sound that like matches all parts of the palette. And it also happens to be like the main sound for, you know, the Miyagi-Do mysticism of the original.
Now for a brief intermission. We return now to the Soundtrack Show.
I think there's a lot in the original movies also that we really appreciate as just kind of like your underdog sports movie type of scoring, which is like, man, like Zach and I are really into like the classic sports score. In fact, in season three, there's a few cues in there where we felt we really got to go down that world in that sort of like, man, I don't know what the word is, but like there's like a feel good aspect to that kind of orchestral writing that really makes you like hyped for the protagonist.
Yeah, that sort of heroic, almost brass thing, or, you know, the strings kind of get very sort of diatonic and like lush and, you know, it's like emotion wrapped into the victory and. Yeah.
Yes. And some of it can get wrapped up in like some Americana type of sounds. But so I guess like what in approaching Cobra Kai, like looking at the Conti stuff, I mean, you know, we have to be aware of all the sort of like scenes that people remember. Cause I actually think like for your run, there are millions of Karate Kid fans in the world. And I think very few of them could sing you.
Be careful, Leo.
Score.
I can see you.
Like, no, it's all good.
Where you go.
No. Cause I think that I don't think many people like can really remember it. Like who isn't like a film score fan or a musician can really sing you the motifs. But what they can tell you is like, oh God, I love that music when this happens. Like it makes them feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And so I think in terms of kind of figuring out how to incorporate Conti, or at least most of what we do is, I would say, like be evocative of some of those feelings, is kind of identify like how it's functioning in the picture and then capture that.
How do you bring together so many eclectic elements? I mean, you've got the Rockin' Johnny Lawrence music, and then you've got more thoughtful orchestral music, and then you've got the Miyagi influence. Are there certain textures or things that just kind of help you orchestrate that balance musically, so there's kind of it kind of all comes together? How do you bridge the gap, or does the show kind of do it for you? I mean, I know there's
about,
go ahead. Yeah.
No, you can finish. You know, there was what?
Oh, I just know there's also a lot of songs, licensed music in the show, but that can be a separate question, you know, and a lot of times those bridge the transitions and things like that. But I'm just curious how you bring it all together. You know, what's kind of the through line here for the show? Because it just works so seamlessly, considering that it's about these two very different ideas, you know, Miyagi-Do and Cobra Kai.
I think you said it. The show kind of does a lot of the work for us in that sense. Like, there would be no way to score the show with one kind of sound. Like, there's just no way. And we're starting off the show already in a different perspective. This is not The Karate Kid. It's Cobra Kai. Like, we have switched in the first season, at least first couple episodes. Like, you know, we are with Johnny, and this is kind of his story. And we needed music to represent that. So that was first and foremost. It was having that, like, hair metal influence, the rock influence. That was kind of always in our pitch, our original pitch, and always kind of like in the back of our minds. And then, with Daniel, like this is the sound that everybody is familiar with. And that was our moment to kind of build off of the Conti sound. We were pretty headstrong about developing our own Daniel themes, which we have a few of in the show. Mm-hmm. We did not really want to spend a lot of time with the Conti themes, because when we use Conti, the showrunners generally have an idea of when they want to use Bill Conti, and then they use it. And that's cool. Like, we let them do that. I mean, not we let them.
We're, and like, we, cool with them, like, the, well, they license the original recording. So it's like, right, exact. It's,
yeah,
exactly it.
Yeah. Also,
and so that way it like double hits you in the nostalgia gut.
Right. Well, and Conti kind of abandoned his original Daniel theme anyway for the second movie. It gets a little different. There's a new love theme. There's Peter Cetera. There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's actually, you talk about this also in your first episode that I listened to, that I actually think more, it does not get enough credit that the score to this movie does this, but it really does intertwine music, like the needle drop music, the songs that were created for the movie, themes from those songs and the score are like ultra related. And I actually don't know, there's not a ton of movies that have that relationship with their kind of pop songs, but the pop song aspect of Karate Kid was a big influence for us. And we wanted to take those synth pop elements and synth wave elements, new wave elements, post-punk, whatever, and put them into the show. And that's kind of where the kids come in. Like, you know, we have this kind of like synth wave, like retro revival sound for like the younger generation of the dojos. And then now that we're in season three, going into season four, the most fun that we have is kind of like mixing the flavors together and playing, you know, having like a fight scene with the Miyagi-Do students that's a Daniel theme, but played on like Cobra Kai instrumentation. Like, that's where we have the most fun with the show.
Going to ask you guys, you know, a lot of projects over the history of film scoring really have multiple composers on it, but what's really unique is how the work is sort of divvied up. And I was going to ask you guys, although I'm starting to get an idea of how you guys divvy up the responsibilities musically on the show. Like, do you go, oh, this is really Leo's wheelhouse, or like, Zach, you got it, pick up the guitar? Like, what's kind of the process like when you're first spotting an episode?
It is, honestly, it's surprisingly more collaborative on like every single cue than you would think once we start like talking about like our interests and backgrounds.
Wow.
We, when we spot an episode, we sit there with, we call, John, Josh and Hayden, the showrunners, JJH, as you know, for efficiency purposes. So we sit in the room with JJH, we go through the episode also with our music editor, Andres Loxy, who's a huge part of just kind of like our brain trust. Usually more than any kind of like musical reference, once we've kind of made that list of like every scene that needs music, which is a lot of scenes, there's a lot of music.
A lot
in the
of
show.
Scenes.
Yeah.
We both just kind of will usually be excited by something. And it, I don't think so far has been like the same thing, 'cause we've never like fought over who starts something. But after spotting, one of us will just be like, hey, I had like a kind of cool idea for this in this scene. And the other will be like, oh, it was great. I had a cool idea for like this in this scene. And then we kind of retire into our own studio rooms and just kind of like, you know, start spewing, for lack of a better term. And then we get to a point where it's like, okay, let's trade. We send a lot of iPhone videos back and forth of like, hey, this is like the baseline I came up with. This is how it's working with picture in this fight or in this whatever. And then once we kind of, you know, let them out of their individual cages, we just kind of both start piling on and say like, hey, you should try doing this over there. Or, hey, can you send me that file? I'm going to like do a little work on it. And we just kind of shoot stuff back and forth. We have a very efficient setup where it's easy to share files, and we've you know, especially three seasons in, we have like a palette that is very familiar. So like in terms of like finding sounds and whatnot, like they're all at both of our fingertips all the time. And I think some of the I think some of the best stuff is actually when we are well, definitely when we have a real combo sometimes when we trade a cue back and forth like five or six times, just like adding stuff and shaping it. I mean, some of those are awesome. But some of the best stuff is when one or the other of us really writes something that is like in the opposite wheelhouse of or what you might think is the wheelhouse based on like us describing our backgrounds.
Wow.
So it's really fun. Like, I think it's like, it keeps it this sort of like hair metal synth wave orchestra palette that I think is really unique to Cobra Kai. I can't think of anything else that's doing that. It's like constantly keeping us fresh. And so like, we are like always like, I don't know, fresh when we are approaching it and divvying up work.
Not to put you on the spot, but does a particular cue come to mind that is a great example of that, the sort of trading back and forth and kind of stacking it up into something amazing?
Yeah. Hallway Hellscape in season two, which is like the first chunk of the climactic school fight.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Although it's really, I mean, really that whole like 10 minute sequence is like, I mean, we both piled on, but there is that track on the album is like a big time combo.
Also, mall fight, if you like.
Season two. Oh, yeah. That's a
collaboration with Bill Conti as well, because we had
to re-record. Right, the very beginning of that.
The very beginning.
Oh, I see. Oh, awesome.
That like ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
We basically had to recreate that cue when the Cobras are coming for Daniel, and before Miyagi shows up,
right?
Because he plays over what
Miyagi
song
rattles
is he
bones.
Over?
I think is the
yes.
Yeah.
No shelter.
Yeah. It's
oh yeah. The
no shelter.
Shelter.
And so the same
pop
thing.
Tune. Yeah.
The same thing happened, and we needed to go into like our original score cue, and like because they had cut in the no shelter from the movie, it had that Conti in there, and we were like, oh well, we can just like re-record that, and like yeah, there were a couple of fun little logistical challenges like that.
The Soundtrack Show will continue in a moment. We return now to the Soundtrack Show.
That's really inspiring that you guys work that closely together. And it sounds like you've really had a rhythm over the last couple of seasons. Now, did COVID change anything? Obviously, season three happened in 2020. Did the pandemic of 2020 at all affect your work? Or was it just kind of like you just kind of keep it rolling because you're both in your same studios? And did anything kind of trip up in post-production for you guys?
Yeah, we actually finished season three about a month before COVID hit.
Oh, wow.
We finished season three in February of 2020. We've been sitting on it for so long, which is why like we can't stop talking because we love, like we have so much to talk about.
But we did do
a series together after that called Die Hard, this hilarious Kevin Hart like action comedy thing. And it was pretty much the same workflow. The only difference is when it came to recording, we have to do that all remotely,
right?
Which is a bit of a bummer to like not be in the room with your guitar player or your drummer.
Yeah. Where was it, people recording from home, or did you go back to say Prague or wherever you recorded in Europe? Or
on that one, it was people recording from home.
Gotcha. In part two of our interview, we discuss how quickly Zach and Leo work on each episode of Cobra Kai, and we dive into the shredding rock cues that dominate the score. The humorous side of Cobra Kai is also discussed, as well as the show's return to Okinawa. Thank you. The Soundtrack Show is an iHeartRadio podcast. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.